And I got this cool shirt. Come on. It says, the year of seeing clearly. Hashtag 2020. Come on. We had this made, and it was something that Heather and I, we really feel strongly about 2020, that it's going to be a year of vision. It's going to be a year of seeing clearly, of seeing clearly in the spirit, of seeing clearly in what's going on. And so Abalia is our next door neighbor. Her daughter makes shirts. She made us these shirts. And so the year of seeing clearly, can somebody say amen?
Amen.
It's going to be the theme and the vision for us as we roll into this new year, because I believe that the Lord has really given us eyes to see and ears to hear. And so I just want to talk about some stuff today that I feel that it is just a good way to close out 2019. And we're going to have a great message next week with Pastor Gabe. And at some point at this message, I'll bring them up today too. And you'll be blessed as well. But Patrick, is Patrick here? He's in the nursery. All right. Well, he'll be here in a minute. Like I said, we're going to flow a little bit different today. So let's just pray. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for your love and your grace. I thank you, Lord, for your kindness. I thank you, Lord, that you love every single person in this church, God. And I pray you would speak to us today. I pray for faith today to rise in this room, and for courage to rise in this room, for grace to be released over this room, Lord. And Father, I just thank you so much for your goodness in the land of the living. I pray you'd anoint these words and be with us today in Jesus' holy name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. If you have your Bible, you can turn to Ezekiel. Ezekiel. That's not the bread. Ezekiel, I felt the Lord stirring a word in me and for the end of 2019. Ezekiel chapter 37. And I'm just going to read you a little bit, and then I'm just going to share a little bit of my heart for just a few minutes. It says in Ezekiel chapter 37, starting in verse 1, it says, the hand of the Lord came upon me, and it brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused them to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? And so I answered, and I said, oh Lord God, you know. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you will live. I will put sinews and I will bring flesh upon you, and I will cover you with skin, and I will put breath upon you and you will live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. And so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling. And the bones began to come together, bone to bone. Indeed, I looked, and the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. And so he said to me, prophesy, breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. And so I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath began to come into them, and they lived, and they stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. He said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves, and I will cause you to come out from your graves, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened these graves, O my people, and I have brought you up from the graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. I will place you in your own land, and then you shall know that I am the Lord who has spoken this and performed this, says the Lord. Amen. That is a really good word. And I think really to get to grasp this and to truly understand the power of this passage. I mean, you could just read it and be impacted by it, but if you really know the context and the backstory, I think it hits your heart even harder. And I just begin to just, my heart just begin to break really as I begin to read this with fresh eyes. And I begin to read this through the eyes of the people of Israel. You see, the people of Israel were a great nation and they were a great people with great destiny. And they had seen God move in the nations and they had seen God move in their cities, and they've seen God move in their lands and their families. They had seen the word of the Lord come to pass again and again. They've seen giants fall again and again. They saw the prophetic come to pass again and again. And all of a sudden, they come into a season where now it's not happening. And now Babylon had come into Israel, and they had destroyed, utterly destroyed them. They destroyed Jerusalem. They destroyed the temple. And they didn't just destroy, but they killed. They killed Israel. They killed Judah. Most of them. Most of them perished. And most of the remaining ones were now in captivity. And so here's this great nation, a nation that had dreams, a nation that had hope, a nation that had a destiny. And now it found itself in rubble. And now it found itself in desolation. It found itself with no hope. And this is exactly where God says, Ezekiel, I want you to step into a dead place. I want you to step into this dead place and do not look with the natural eyes, but look with the eyes of the Spirit. This is exactly what Nehemiah had to do as well. If you remember the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah had to come and everything was in ruins. And he had to dream again in the midst of ruins. Jeremiah had to come into the place. Remember Jeremiah, he had to come and he had to dream again. He was lamenting, the Bible says, over what was lost, over what was broken down. But then he's like, but I'm going to remind myself. I'm going to remember where we're going as a people. And the same thing is happening with Ezekiel. Now God's saying, Ezekiel, I want you to step into this place. It looks dead. It looks barren. It looks obsolete. It looks like nothing good can come from this situation. But I have a destiny for these people. I have a hope for these people. I remember being in Tibet one time, and our tour guide took us to this valley, this place of it was a graveyard, but it was not the most pleasant place to visit. They would smash up bodies of the deceased and dead, and they would cut them up, and they would sprinkle their bodies all over this gigantic field, and they would feed them to the birds, the gods of the air. And so these birds would come, and I remember just sitting there looking at this entire field in Tibet, bones everywhere, skulls and everything that you can imagine. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is intense. And this scripture came to my mind and it came to my heart, and I thought to myself, I do not have faith whatsoever to speak to these bones. I don't have any faith for that. And as I begin to meditate on that simple thing, the Lord just began to remind me, and he's reminding me right now. Many of us look at situations in our life just like that. We come to these points in our life, and they feel like a big valley of bones. And you say, I don't have any faith for that anymore. Maybe it's your marriage. You've come to this crossroads in your marriage. You've come to this point in your marriage and you just say, I have no more faith. I have no more hope. I've lost hope. I feel like I'm in captivity. I do not know what to do anymore. And it feels like I'm looking at a hillside, a valley of dry bones. What do I do with this? This is, I feel like many people have gone through this in 2019. We've lost our hope. Situations have come and taken away our joy, taken away our fire, and taken away our first love for Christ, and snuffed out the joy. But these situations do not have to dictate to you how you're going to live and how you're going to react to Jesus. Because faith is a choice and joy is a choice. Amen. So can these What does he say to Ezekiel? God says this. He says, what? Can these bones live? Can they live? I think even before we ask ourselves that, when you're looking at your situation, I think, and whatever it is, maybe it's your finances, maybe it's your dream. Maybe it's the call of God on your life. Maybe it's a dream that God put in you 25 years ago, and it's bigger than you. And it's bigger than this church. It's bigger than anything that you could put your finger on. But because of life and circumstances, you begin to lose hope and say, I don't know what to do with this thing anymore, and so I'm just going to shelve it. I just want to encourage people to dream again. You see, this is where Israel was. Israel, they were in captivity. They lost hope. They lost their dream. They lost their passion, their fire, their zeal. They lost it all, and now they're being led as slaves. And Ezekiel says, no, you might be in captivity, but I see a great nation. You might see bones, but I see an army. You might see death, but I see life. And I just want to declare and prophesy that over all of our situations. Maybe you're looking at your situation, you just say, this is dead. It's dead, dead, dead. But God says, life, life, life. Amen. And that's the Ruach. The Bible says that the breath, you know, you read the Genesis, and breath came into Adam. It was the Ruach. It was the life, the breath, the Spirit of God that came into Adam, and it gave him life. And the same thing, life came into these bones. The Ruach of God, the breath of God, the Spirit of God. And that is what we need in our situations. We need the life and the Spirit of God to come upon us, to fill us, to change us. Because we can't muster up strength and say, oh, I'm just gonna change my mind, I'm gonna do this, and then things are gonna get different. No, we need the Lord. Either He breathes on it or it's dead. Or we're just like, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen that movie, Weekend at Bernie's. This old movie from the 80s, but they're walking Bernie around and they're trying to make believe that he's alive, and they're moving his arms around, and it's just a corpse. And it's just like, yeah, Bernie's alive, moving his arms, moving his legs. Without the breath of God, we're just a Bernie. We need the Ruach of God, amen? We need the breath of God in our lives. And I think it's good to remember and to remind ourselves that we serve the God of the impossible. We serve the God of the impossible. And all throughout Scripture, I see these amazing verses, you know, such as Genesis 18:4. And this is when the Lord is speaking to Sarah. Remember Sarah? She gets asked to do this crazy thing. Like, the Lord's like, Sarah, I know you're 90. That's cool. I know you like want to maybe enter into retirement. I don't know, but I got a plan for your life, Sarah, and you're going to conceive a son. She's like, hold up, wait a minute, don't go there. No, she says, she was a little bit afraid. But what does the Lord say? Genesis 18:4, is anything too hard for the Lord? Come on. What did the Lord speak to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 32:27? Jeremiah, he said, I am the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? Remember this teenage girl by the name of Mary. Just celebrated Christmas. I love Christmas. I love the story of Jesus and Mary and Joseph. But think about Mary for a moment. She is a teenage girl that just got asked to give birth to the Savior of the world. I mean, come on, like that's pretty terrifying. And so what is the angel? The first thing that the angel of the Lord says is, fear not. Fear not. You don't have to be afraid. Fear not. And then he says this in Luke 1:37. He said, because with God, nothing is impossible. Matthew 19:26, Jesus is encouraging his disciples. Remember that? And he says, with man, this is going to be impossible. But with God, all things are possible. We got to remind ourselves that we serve a God of the impossible. If we could part the Red Sea, then we wouldn't need God. If we can heal that body and make things come to life, then we wouldn't need God. But we need him, and he is the God of the impossible. He can make dead situations come to life. And I know he's done it. Everybody has a testimony in this room. And remember the testimonies. Remember how good he's been in your life. But today, there's actually three areas that God spoke to me through Ezekiel. And one of them is in Ezekiel 36. I'll share in just a moment. But I think today, I feel like the Lord's saying, what are the dry bones in your life? What are those areas that feel dead in 2019? Maybe you came into after the end of 2018 and you had some real hope and you had some faith, and then life began to just knock you down and you begin to get weary and you begin to get tired and you begin to lose hope and faith and joy. It happens, whether that's because of sickness, sometimes it's because of debt and just financial pressure, and it can happen through relational crisis. Can happen through family issues and children issues, and there's all kinds of stuff that could cause these things to happen. But what is the valley of dry bones in your life today? What is the dream that you have put on the back burner or forgotten? What is the word of the Lord over your life? What seems dead that you need supernatural intervention? Ask yourself that. And I have a scripture, because I think sometimes we will come into these situations and we do. It feels dead. We don't know what to do. How can I pray when I'm looking at this graveyard? How can I pray with an attitude of faith when I'm looking at bones? When I'm looking at somebody that says they hate me? When I'm looking, you know, there's things that glare back at you and you're like, how can I pray with faith over that? How can I speak hope into this situation? And I want to give you a verse that will allow you to speak hope into any situation. And this is what you have to do. And because the Bible gives you promises. And one promise that I have stood on for time and time and time again, it's one of my go-tos, is Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. It says, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, but it does not return there, but it waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me void, but it will accomplish what I please. And it will prosper in the thing for which I sent it. I got to remind myself of that sometimes. And I know you probably do too. Because we can look at situations that just seem desolate and it seems dead. But you say, I know what this looks like. I'm looking at a valley of bones. But I know what your word says. Your word says that every word that comes from heaven will come to pass. And so I don't feel good right now. I don't feel like this is going to come to pass. But your word says it will come to pass. And so I can take a position of faith because of Isaiah 55. I don't feel it. I don't see it. But I know it because you said it. And so I can pray with an attitude of faith because of these scriptures. And now you begin to position yourself with authority and with faith. And you begin to speak to your dry bones. Because if we just wait for a feeling, if we would just wait till we get these goosebumps feelings, then we're never going to speak. our situations are never going to change. But if we just say, I don't care what I'm feeling like, it just matters what the word of the Lord says. Amen. And so there's three things real quick. These three things that God was just highlighting to me. And I shared the second one first because I thought that was the most important. And we'll go back to that in a moment. But in Ezekiel 36, just track with me and we're gonna have fun. Ezekiel 36. I felt like there was three things that the Lord wanted to highlight today from Ezekiel 36 and 37. The first one was about having a right heart. In Ezekiel 36, verses 26, it says, I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh, and I will give you a new heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you, and I will cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and you will do them. Then you shall then you shall dwell in the land that I gave your fathers. You shall be my people and I will be your God. I will deliver you and I will call you from all the uncleanness. I will call you from the grain and multiply it and bring no famine upon you. Hallelujah. This is a good verse right here that Ezekiel is speaking once again to Israel. And it's about getting our hearts right. Because they were beginning to, in verse 25, it says, I will sprinkle you with clean water and you shall become clean. I will cleanse you from the filthiness and from all the idols. I think sometimes we got to make an effort. We have to make a decision to let go of the stuff that we're holding on to. Letting go of pride. Letting go of anger. Letting go of resentment. Letting go of offense. Letting go of addictions. Letting go of secret sin. Whatever that thing is that we're holding on to. And it literally, just like Israel, it begins to become an idol because it begins to be put in the place of God. And so the first thing that I want to just talk about is, can we just get rid of these things? Can we lay them at the altar and start 2020 with new vision, with new eyesight, and with nothing holding us back? No baggage. We're going to check the baggage to Jesus. He's the ultimate baggage checker. And he's not going to give it back to you. It's like flying on China Air. Check your baggage. Am I going to get this back? I don't know. Will I get it in one piece? Who knows? I'll see when I get to China. But Jesus is not going to give you your baggage back. You check it in with him. You give him that stuff. And he gives you hope. And he gives you love. And he gives you forgiveness. And he gives you joy. So this is the first thing that we need to bring to the table today. We need to let go of these things that has taken his place. And the second thing is the 37 that I talked about is remembering the vision, remembering the dream, remembering what God has put in your life. And just saying, God, I've tried to do this in my own strength. I've tried to make this alive in my own strength, but without the Ruach of God, without the breath of God, this is not going to live. But I want to believe again. I want to have hope again. I want to have faith again for this thing, this dream that you gave me, this word that you gave me. That's the second thing. And the third area is quite interesting. It's in the end of 37. I'm not going to read it. You can read it on your own time because it's several scriptures or verses. And it's from 15 to 28 of 37. But what it's talking about is Ezekiel begins to do a prophetic act. And he talks about the three sticks. He has these three sticks and he says, I'm going to put these sticks together. And I'm going to unify the tribes. That you once were going this way and you once were on your own over here. But he's saying, the Lord is bringing you into a time where I'm bringing unity. And we must have unity. And as I begin to read this, the Lord just really hit my heart. That this is what we need in this time, in this hour in the church. More than anything, we need unity. We need unity. If Israel needed unity, then the Eastern Sierras could use some unity. We need some unity in the church as a whole. And it's, what does that look like? It looks like, okay, I've done my own thing for a long time. I've tried it my own way. I've gone in my own direction. But how about let's get together? Because God says, I command my blessing where there's unity. And you know where unity cannot exist and where unity cannot thrive is where there is offense. And I think it is such a subtle tactic and trick of the enemy to keep us mad at each other. But I want to say something. We do not have the right to be mad at each other. We don't. As Christians, we lost the right to stay mad at each other. As believers in Jesus Christ, Jesus who hung on a cross, he said, I forgive them. We have no right to be mad at each other. Absolutely none. And if we hold on to a grudge, we'll be taken out. If we hold on to offense, the enemy will have a heyday with you. And so if there is any offense in your heart, if there's bitterness into your heart over it from a sister, from a brother, what does the Bible say? It says, go to them and make it right. Ask for forgiveness. Say, hey, you've hurt me. Why is that so powerful? Because we need unity. One could put 1,000 to flight, but two put 10,000 to flight. We need unity in our marriages again. We need unity in the body again. We need unity in our families again. And so these are the three areas that the Lord just impressed upon my heart. And I'm going to let these guys share if they feel led in a moment. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to pass these around. I got these buckets. I got these papers in here. And I feel like, as I was praying this morning, I feel like maybe there's something in your life. Maybe it's sin. Maybe it's just anger. Maybe it's pride. Maybe, who knows what it is. But if you have something in your life that you need to let go of, I want you to physically write it on a piece of paper. And then as you feel led, I want you to fold it up or crumple it up, and I just want you to throw it on the altar. Nobody's going to look at it. Nobody's going to know what's going on, but you're going to know, and God's going to know. And I feel like freedom is really going to come. And the second group, I feel like there's lost dreams, and I feel like there's people that have been looking at a graveyard and dry bones. And I want you, being led by the Holy Spirit, say, God, what is that dream? What's that vision? What's that word that you put in my heart that I've forgotten? And I want you to write it. And I want your eyes to see it. I want your eyes to see that thing again. Maybe it is a marriage. Maybe it is a loved one that's just run away. Maybe it's a child that's just going haywire. I want you to see that name. I want you to see that dream. See that word on that piece of paper so that you can begin to have faith that God will breathe on that situation. And the third thing is if you have offense, you just have to go to the person. If you have anger, then just go to the person. Let's just be healthy. Let's be whole. Because 2020 is the year of perfect vision. God wants to give us perfect vision. He wants to give us eyes to see and ears to hear. So I'm going to pass these. And let's just, as it gets back to the very back, if you can pass it towards the middle. And as we begin to pass these out, Patrick's going to sing a little bit. And we're just going to kind of flow with God for a few minutes. And I feel that the Lord is in this place. And I just want to start 2020 on the right foot. And I want to end 2019 clean. I want to end 2019 with no baggage. I want to end 2019 feeling joyful, free, and hopeful. And so as these just kind of make their way, we're just going to have a kind of attitude of prayer and worship just for a few moments. You can just engage with the Father or pray or however you feel led, just kind of do that.
Lord, you are the one who gave his only son for me. Bruised and broken, Jesus walked to die on Calvary. How can I thank you? What can I offer up to a king? How can I thank you with more than my words or the song that I sing? Lord, you are the one who gave his only son for me. Jesus walked to die on Calvary. And how can I thank you? What can I offer up to a king? How can I thank you? More than my words or the song that I sing. Here I am, here's my life. Take my days, take my nights. I will stand by your grace, and I'll do what you say. Here I am, here's my life. Take my days, take my nights. I will stand by your grace, and I'll do what you say. I'll obey. I'll obey you, Lord. I'll obey. I'll obey you, Lord. I'll obey. I'll obey you, Lord. 'Cause you are ever so worthy. You are so worthy. You are so worthy. Here I am. Here's my life. Take my days. Take my nights. I will stand by your grace, and I'll do what you say. Here I am, take my life, take my days, take my nights. I will stand by your grace, and I'll do what you say. I'll obey. I'll obey you, Lord. I'll obey. I'll obey you, Lord. 'Cause you are ever so worthy. Look at all you've done for me. Look at all you gave. Look at all you give, Jesus. Look at all you've done for me. Look at all you gave. Look at all you give. Thank you, Lord. Here I am, here's my life. Take my days, take my nights. I will stand by your grace, and I'll do what you say. Here I am, here's my life. Take my days, take my nights. I will stand by your grace, and I'll do what you say. You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Thank you, Lord, you are here. You're all I want. You, my Lord, you're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Thank you, Lord, you are here. Thank you, Lord, you are here. Heal the brokenhearted soul. Set them free to fly with you. Set them free to live with you in joy and peace every day, God. Every day with you.
Jesus. You know, as Pastor Mike was sharing about the 3 points, right, and the focus, I was thinking about how he was encouraging us to be in unity, you know, and be one with each other. And I thought, I was like, yeah, that is the heart of Jesus, because that was his actually last prayer before actually he went to the cross. And he said, Father, you know, just like I am one with you, I pray, this is my heart, I pray that they will be one with you. And then he says, and that they will be one with each other. There's no way we can be one with each other if we're not one with God. I think that's the number one place that we need to make a commitment in our lives, where we say we are going to be one with God. And that we're not going to allow anything to come in between God and us. And it's what, like Pastor Mike was saying, bitterness, unforgiveness, hate, all those things will come in between you and the Lord and makes us separate from him. But that's not his heart. You know, so that's why he shows us the way. You know, this is the way. If you forgive, you will be forgiven. Right? And if you don't hold on things against each other, then there's more facility. It's easier for you to become one with God, because sin is not in between you and him. Guys, he made a way. Come on. And he gave his only son. That was the way he made it. It cost him a lot, a lot. And so I was reminded also while he was preaching on how, you know, he's calling us to freedom. You know, I think Pastor Mike is trying to remind us that there is so much freedom in God, you know, and but the beginning of it is when we become one with Christ and we become one with God. Then there is freedom. That is where freedom is. You know, I love a lot of pastors, they preach and they explain how freedom, it has to do with, it's not about me being able to do anything I want. A lot of teenagers, we think like that, right? Well, some adults too. But I'm pretty sure Pastor Mike is not talking about that, okay? It's not freedom to do anything or freedom to sin. Right. That doesn't make sense, because sin makes you in bondage. So, and you would become slave to sin and to the devil. So freedom to do anything, or freedom to be entitled, freedom to, I'm entitled, I don't have to forgive. I'm not sure, because that's not freedom. You know, because then you are enslaved again, and you're captive again to your own bitterness or hate or unforgiveness, right? So freedom is really becoming one with Christ and becoming one with God and coming in alignment with Him. And this year, as we're entering 3 days, 2020, which is so prophetic, because 2020, when we go to the optometrist, not ophthalmologist, optometrist, thank you, optometrist, you know, he said, what is it when you have perfect vision and you don't need glasses? They say 20/20, right? You have 20/20 vision. Next year, I really agree with Pastor Mike that it's going to be clear vision. Clear vision. And in Rosh Hashanah, when we enter the new year, the new Jewish year of Rosh Hashanah in September, I can't explain the whole thing. But Rabbi Jason, Sean Bowes, they all posted the prophetic word for this year, but not just prophetic of how they feel, but prophetic with the numbers and the word and the meaning of the Hebrew year for this year. And it has to do with words. Words that you declare will be really powerful to this year. This is the year of Rosh Hashanah. Is the things you declare will have a lot of power. And that is biblical, right? Because the Lord says that through your words, you can give life. Just like in Ezekiel, you can declare life to dead bones, dry bones, or you can declare death. It's pretty crazy. So through your words, you will be able to, with even more power, because I feel like it's a designated time for 2020, for this year with the Lord. Spiritually, I really believe what you declare, if you declare death in your marriage, it will have power. But if you declare life, it will have life. If you declare death to a situation, it will have power. But if you declare life to the situation, it will have power. And that reminds me of how we're called to walk with God in freedom and in power. What does that mean? It means that we align with the Word of God. And we use the Word of God to declare the truths into the situations. And whatever you believe, guys, and whatever you declare has power over your life, has power over your family, over your marriage, over your children, over your friends around you, over your business, over your city. It's really true. You know, I love Bible studies, and I love studying the Bible. But isn't that amazing that every time you finish a Bible study, you're so amazed on how the Word changed you? And I'm like, why are we always amazed? I mean, it's the Word of God. It will always change us, right? If we just get into the Word, if we just align with the Word, if we just use our mouth to align with the Word and declare what the Word says, not only through our mouth, with our mind, and if only we made covenant here in our mind, in our heart, with the Word of God and not with what is not the Word of God. What if we choose to really believe the Word of God and follow it and make a commitment with it instead of our own ways? I really believe that 2020 will be powerful. This morning, as I was waking up, I had a dream, and it really scared me. You know, and I woke up because of the dream. And in the dream, we were in a room, and there was a child, probably like 4 or 5 years old, and I saw a huge snake coming in. And this snake was about to bite the it was a little boy. And I don't know if it was our son or something, but it was about to bite, bite? Bit, bite, sorry. But God really uses imperfect people. Portuguese is my first language. So anyway, the snake came in and it was about to bite the boy. And I don't know why I did this, but in the dream, I did something to catch his attention so that he wouldn't bite the boy. But then he came after me, and Gabe was like, oh, no. and he just came after me, and he bit my hand. It was so real. It was huge. And so it bit my hand, and I woke up, and I was like, oh, shoot. I don't know if you guys think like this too, but I sometimes do. You start thinking, did I do something wrong? Why did it bit me? Bite me, thank you. Thank you so much. Why did it bite me? No, it's good. I need help. I do. Why did it bite me? Did I do something wrong? When something goes wrong in our lives, or someone hurts us, or someone betrays us, or something bad happens, the first thing we think is what? Did I do something wrong? Is there something wrong with me? Am I not aligned with God? Is God trying to teach me a lesson? Which, by the way, I love how Bill Johnson always teaches on this, because he's like, if God is a God who needs to give you cancer or give you pain for you to learn something, he's not a good God. So that cannot align with the truth in the Bible that says that he's a good God, a good father. There's no evil in him. It's impossible for him to think evil. It's impossible. The good and evil doesn't abide together. So don't we? Am I the only one here? Okay, I'm not alone here. Right? So I thought, shoot, did I do something wrong? Did I open the door for the devil? Why am I being bitten did I say it right? Oh, good. By the snake. It's a huge snake. And I literally felt in my hand. It was like when I woke up. And I was like, this is crazy. So I went down, made my coffee, and I'm just praying. I'm like, God, speak to me. What does this mean? Am I supposed to be watching? Something's going to happen. Or did I do something and it's going to bite me? Has it already bitten me, and it's something already happened? Or is it going to bite me? you guys understand me, right? Oh, good. So I'm walking around, I'm praying, and I have my coffee, and I'm just thinking, and then I go up, and I'm going to ask Gabe to pray for me. So he's in the laundry room, and I go there, and I'm Gabe, and I was about to say, you got to pray for me. But he came out. Actually, I started saying, hey, I had a dream, and a big snake came and bit my hand, and right there, I had the revelation. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit reminded me of Paul. When Paul, his ship broke, right, because of the big storm. And so then he ended up on one island called Malta that still exists. And there they were hosted by a few natives. And they were very kind to them, give them food and everything. And it's Acts 28:3-5. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. I was like, it was my hand too. So when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, no doubt this man is a murderer whom, though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow him to live. But he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm, and everyone was shocked. Isn't that interesting that even then they thought back then, 2,000 years ago, they also thought he did something wrong. That's why he's being bitten, because justice is coming after him. Sometimes don't we think about like that to other people too? When they go through a hard time, when something bad happens to them, what is it that we sometimes think? Oh, they must have done something wrong. But Paul, he's continuing preaching, and the snake is in his hand, and everybody's waiting for him to just fall because of the poison, dead because of the poison. But no, he just shook it off, and he was fine. It reminded me of another word. Behold, Luke 10:19-20. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather just rejoice because your names are written in heaven. I feel like the Lord wanted to remind me, but wanted to remind all of you. Yes. Okay. Now you know that the Word of God says that when we are one with Christ, when Christ is in me, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. When you become one with Christ, Pastor Mike was saying the things that we don't have rights anymore, which I was like, oh my gosh, we should write a list of things that we don't have rights anymore. You know, but then we have a list of what we have right for. We have the right. And part of it is when you are with Christ and Christ is in you, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And it's his promise, because this is Jesus. Two times he said in different moments. One was when the 70s went out to preach and they came back because they were so shocked that the demons would obey them. And that's when he said that verse that I just read. He's like, I'm telling you that they all... I'm giving you the authority to trample over snakes and scorpions. And I believe that it is literal, but I also believe that it's spiritual. I believe that it's literal. If an animal, if a snake bites me, I believe, guys, that I will not fall dead. I will die when it's my time, when it's the Lord taking me. But I really believe that it's literal, just like happened to Paul. But I really believe it's also spiritual, and it's also when it has also to do, maybe this is something for some people here, when people release negative words or words of death, I believe God is saying, or people betray you or hurt you with words, I believe God is saying, it will not kill you. It will not destroy you. It's poison. We'll have no power. Because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And that's when, ask Gabe, I was really happy. I was so happy.
Really quick. So I asked just a common question I normally ask my wife when we wake up. I said, how did you sleep? Especially when we're in a new place or... In a place that we don't normally sleep. And she said, oh, it was crazy. I had a dream, and she shared the dream that I got bit by a snake. And then all of a sudden she starts dancing. I think that's prophetic. My cup runneth over. Anyway, she started dancing, and she goes, he bit me, but he didn't kill me. He bit me. And she started, and so we started making a song out of it, and we were rejoicing. And I just want to just add one little caveat to what she's saying, because I think it's so important that we understand this, that there will be challenges. How many of you know that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but he has come that we might have life and have life abundantly? So I think one of the challenges that I want to leave with you, as Monica has so adequately shared, is that we do not need to run away from the enemy because we are more powerful than the enemy. How many of you know he may have power, but he doesn't have the authority to use that power? We have power and authority. That's what Jesus gave us when he went to confront the devil when he died on the cross. And so I think it's important we have to remember, you will walk through the fire, but you will not be burned. You will walk through the waters, but you will not drown, right? Even it says in Isaiah, even youths grow tired and weary, young men stumble and fall, but those who wait on the Lord, he will renew. So it's not that we don't face challenge. It's not that we don't, you know, encounter these things, but it's we have overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So I feel like one of the things I just want to share with you before we pray and before Monica closes is as we go into 2020, we will face challenges. This is not to obviously enable that. This is not to exalt that. It's part of life. But how you respond to those challenges determines how you grow. Amen? Jesus himself said, Lord, remove this cup from me before he went to the cross. But he knew that the greater joy for him, which was you, was worth more than him wanting to dismiss his call to not go to the cross, right? It was the joy set before him that he endured the cross. And so we have to embrace what God is teaching us. We can't run away from the challenge. Now, there's wisdom. I'm not saying you have to call it on or, you know, walk into, you know, you don't walk outside when it's freezing like this and just say, I'm going to overcome, you know, this sickness by, you know, there's wisdom, of course. But it's what we do when we face those challenges. And I really believe that how you respond, every action has a reaction, right? How you respond to the challenge will determine the growth that God wants to instill in you. And I believe that through all, whatever he teaches us through 2020, we're going to come out greater. Amen? Because greater is he in us.
So number one was to be one with God. So we can be one with each other. And not only that, so you can get all the benefits that comes with the kingdom of God, which is the power and authority that Jesus has given you through his death and resurrection. It's not just for the pastors. It's not just for people who have been ordained. It's not just for people who went through fuller or theology schools. It's for every single human being. If you are alive and you're breathing and you're talking and you're living, that is what Jesus died for, to give you, the authority over serpents and scorpions, the authority even over death. Oh, death, where is your sting? It has no more power over me. It has no more power over you. The unity of you with Christ and the unity... Well, it says that Jesus came and he became flesh. The Word came and became flesh. Me becoming one with God, one with Christ, is the same thing as me becoming one with the Word. Do you want to be one with Christ? We got to be one with the Word. One with the Word is not just declaring from my mouth, it has power, but it's believing in my heart, believing in my mind, being transformed every day, casting down the thoughts that are not of God every morning, and then picking up all the thoughts of God and putting in my mind. Does it make sense? That's one. That was a long one. What was the next one? I have the second one. I really feel as we're closing, I don't know if God wants to give an antidote for anxiety, because I really feel like in the days we're living, there's so much anxiety. Part of it, there's no time to talk about everything, but part of it, anxiety also has to do with the fear of what I don't know is going to happen tomorrow. The fear of I'm going to get hurt tomorrow. The fear that tomorrow something bad is going to happen. The fear, yeah? Anxiety, I mean, we can preach a whole message just on that. But just to give you a little glimpse, I really believe today, this morning, when I got bit by that snake in the dream, and then he gave me that revelation when I was about to ask Gabe for prayer. I went there to actually ask you for prayer, but then I got the revelation, and I started dancing, you know, and we started singing. But the whole point is, I think that one of the antidotes for anxiety is that knowing this. Yeah, you can't control what people will do to you. You cannot. You cannot control people who are not walking with God, and they might be mean to you or betray you or hurt you with words or physically. We can't. We cannot control what's going to happen tomorrow. But the promise for you to have peace and for you to not have anxiety is not the promise that nothing bad is going to happen tomorrow. That is not where the true peace comes from. Jesus said, "Behold, I conquered, I overcame the world. Do not be afraid." He didn't say, "Nothing bad is going to happen to you." He said, "I was persecuted, or you will be persecuted. What makes you think that your Lord can be persecuted but not you?" But that's not the point. The point is not, the promise is not that nothing is going to happen, that everything is going to be perfect. This is the promise. The greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. That even though the snake might come and bite you, the poison will not kill you. You will not be harmed. You will not die. Oh, sting, death, where is your sting? That death has no more sting. That is your promise. That is the word of God. And that is where peace lies on. That is where we find peace. It's when we become one with Christ and we become one with the Word and we abide in the Word and we abide with Him and we make the Word of God our protection. And it's not just protection from pain, which I feel like sometimes that's what we wish. It's protection to the point where pain has no hold of you. It has lost its sting. The Spirit of God who is in you is enough. The grace of God is enough. The strength that He gives you will empower you to overcome anything in this life. So as we go and we enter 2020, my prayer this whole morning was, God, it's not me. I don't need to speak anything to you. What I want is that God Himself would speak to you in His own words, that He would whisper His promises into your ears, into your heart, that you would be able to believe in Him, not in me. Believe in Him. Believe in His word. Become one with the word of God that became flesh. Christ Himself, the Word of God, became flesh, that you would become one with Him. You would become one with the Word, that through that, not only the poison will have not power over you, it's not just that, it's that you will become an overcomer. You will be victorious. As you enter 2020 and you say, 2020, I shall not fear. Woo! I just felt, I shall not fear. I will go into 2020 bold. Bold, not in myself, but bold in the Word of God. Knowing that you have, I have. You can close your eyes and receive it for yourself. We will go into 2020 as overcomers. Victorious with no fear. Fear has no hold of me. Anxiety has no hold of me. Because my God is with me. He has made me overcomer, victorious. His grace is enough. He will make me strong. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I will not be harmed, and even if the snake bites me, its poison will have no power over me. Amen. Amen.
Come on. That's a good word. We're going to wrap up. But I just feel like doing one last thing. If you could just grab hands with your neighbor. Got a full meal today. I believe we're going to enter into a great season in 2020. Season of expectation for you individually, for your family, for this church, for this community, for Mammoth, for Crowley, for Bishop, for the Eastern Sierras. I just speak expectancy over this land. I speak grace over this land. I speak blessing and freedom over this land. That we would once again rise on the wings of eagles and take our place and begin to dream again. We would be those that would dream with the Lord again. So I just want you to pray for that person to your right, to your left. I just want you to speak life over the dream. Speak life over 2020. Speak life over their situation, over their heart. And Patrick's going to sing this last song, and I believe it's a prophetic song and a prophetic declaration over our church, over our families, over marriages in this building right now, over your personal dream. Allow the words to penetrate and to soak into you and to give you the courage to fly, to give you the courage to dream, to give you the courage to step into this new year with boldness. So God, we just thank you for today. We seal these words. We seal everything that was done, everything that was written on a piece of paper, Lord. You know, you saw. And I just pray for freedom, and I pray for fruit to come into every person's life. Great fruit, great breakthrough in freedom. Amen.
Jesus, Lord of our salvation, the Holy One of God, you set the captives free. Jesus, author of salvation, died upon the cross, paid the price for me. Now I can run, now I can fly, now I can soar with eagle's wings. Now I can run, now I can fly, now I can soar with eagle's wings. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving me. Now I can run. Now I can fly. Now I can soar with eagle's wings. Now I can run. Now I can fly. Now I can soar with eagle's wings. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving me. What a beautiful thing you've done. What a beautiful thing you've done. What a beautiful thing you've done. Now I can run. Now I can fly. Now I can soar with eagle's wings. Through every circumstance, lifting my eyes to you, King of kings, Lord of lords, Creator of all things. Nothing is too hard for you. Nothing is too hard for you. We believe you, God. Faithful friend, closer than a brother. Closer than a brother.